Today's perek in Tanakh is Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Bet. In the previous perek, we learned of the dissolution of Malchut, really. It's on the surface, it seems to be simply a question of some political ramifications. But obviously, in the deepest sense, as we recognized, what's really happening is that the Malchut became dependent on the work of integration of Shlomo HaMelech. And that is a failure from top down. Because of that, the Malchut fell apart. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the message to Achia Shiloni, that the Malchut is being torn into shreds, that's the point. When you can no longer keep it together, it's like we say in English, I can't hold it together. It's torn into pieces. And it's a failure in the Melech's being able to maintain that connection with the lowest level of reality, and that's the failure essentially of women. Because that lowest level of reality is the most primal basis of the interconnection that human beings have, which, as we pointed out, is why the entire story of the Malchut is so unbelievably sexual. It has to go down to biology and the ability to completely contain the things that might come out of, get out of control biologically. And the man, we saw the Malbim's pshat in the message to Yeravam. Let's see if you can control yourself, then we can see whether you can be a melech. And that failure in falling apart, not because chas v'shalom, Shlomo HaMelech was in any way weak sexually, but because he was unable to take seriously enough the small issues that led to Avodah Zarah in his relationship with these women, and it's just too much to bother controlling, basically. If that's the point, then the entire issue becomes nifsal. A melech shouldn't have to hold things under artificial control. The very integration of the Malchus is meant, as it did earlier, to contain. It stopped containing, it means there was a breakdown from top down. The result of that kriya was that the Malchus began to collapse from bottom up. And that is the perek to come. We need to watch what happens now. Once there was the kriya of the Malchut, we see that the exact opposite thing has happened, and remarkably, and this is absolutely stunning, the insight of Chazal, remarkably Chazal traced the issues of this coming parak to the original Bakashat HaMalchut of Shmuel, and explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel about this parak at that time. That you're going to see that the underlying problem of the Bakashat HaMalchut comes from an inability for people to do the same thing from the bottom up that Shlomo needed to do from top down. And what that means is that one of the most difficult things that we have, you'll notice that things were okay as long as the building phase of Shlomo was going on. And that building phase was not only an edifice complex, obviously. The building phase was the creation of the Malchut to be able to be sholeit on the world, that we would be without a satan, that we would have peace all over. The reason that that period things worked out, even the control of the women worked out, and that the only time that the warning to Shlomo comes about is at the end of that 20-year period that we're talking about, the 24th year of his reign. Then we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu responding to that tefillah and warning him, because that was the turning point. Why is that the turning point? Let's think about that. Malchut has in it elements that are antithetical to competition, which is basic biological drives, which of course are also related to reproduction on the individual level. So we are built with highly competitive drives to protect ourselves and our genes from others. There's one issue in which biologically we don't have that problem, and that's war. In other words, there are social constructs that are completely biological in which there are individuals that will defer reproduction, give up on reproduction if you're an ape, in order to be able to further the tribe. So it's not that Malchus is anti-biological. On the contrary, man is a social animal, and those social elements always will have a prime, an alpha male, so to speak. And so on a biological level, Shlomo HaMelech becomes the alpha male. So the male others will be avodim for him. But when is that? That's only when there's a threat to the tribe, so to speak. Where you're in a period of building, you're being kovesh others, so then the individual competitive drives become linked to the competition between entire groups, or even between species. That's also part of biology, and it's also as Darwinian as anything else, and does not represent a difficulty for the Malchus to achieve. But when that phase is over, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned Shlomo, now, if it's going to be held together artificially, then you're going to have a tearing apart of the Malchut from first from top down, and it will be immediately noticed from bottom up. And that's exactly what the Bakashat HaMalchut implied. We can't get it together. That's what they're telling Shmuel. We need somebody put on top of us. Why is that? Because the fact is that unless there are those factors that drive you physically to want to get together as a group, which is why mobs always work so perfectly together. There's no melech, and nonetheless everybody's doing the same things. That's why all types of physical, you get a group of people that are clapping, they end up clapping in unison. You put women together in a dorm, they all start having their periods together. There are biological issues in which we're pre-programmed to be groups. But the moment that there starts to be a contradiction between the group and the individual, then you get into trouble. Once the Malchut now is no longer a Malchut of Milchama, it's now a Malchut of Shalom. And this is what happens in every revolution. The moment the revolutionary period is over, so now it starts falling apart because the individuals pull apart, each one goes to their own home, so to speak. And they're going to their own home. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, you'll see that in the end, there's going to be three things that they will be mo'es. They don't want Malchut at all. They don't want my Malchut. Be ma'asur. They're going to come to the stage in which they will be mo'es against the very Malchut that they did want, which is Malchut Beit David. They're going to be Mo'es B'Malchut Beit David. And in the end, they will be Mo'es to Beit HaMikdash, which is the ultimate expression of that Malchut. Why is that true? Because every aspect of Malchut, you'll notice even in the Nevi'est Avram Avinu, is linked to Brit Milah. The Hitalech Lefanai that was told to Shlomo is linked directly to Brit Milah. So why is that? Because Brit Milah is a violation of our standard assumptions of biological competition. It means that you will now utilize aspects that are emergent, which by definition is Malchut, aspects that are emergent to determine reproduction instead of vice versa. Instead of allowing reproduction to drive you, that is a reversal of the human condition. So it's a reversal that leads to Malchut if you can follow through with it. In the end, you come to recognize that your identity has changed, that if there's no Malchut, you're hopelessly frustrated because you don't have yourself. That's the problem. So now you see the entire world and its interrelationships, its integration, as being fundamentally important for your own existence. Like today you have, it's amazing, 75% of people or more, they just conducted a poll across the globe. Consider internet access to be a fundamental human right. Internet access is a fundamental human right. What does that mean, fundamental human right? In other words, it means that people feel they cannot function without that level of connectedness and integration with the rest of the world. I can't be me. What does it mean to be isolated somewhere without access to the internet? It's an amazing thing. I mean, you could say it's a right, you could say it's a fundamental human right, like the right to religion, like the right to breathe, like the right to live. I mean, that's incredible. And so what happened here is that the Gilui and the Raya that Chazal bring to Shmuel's Nevi'ahs is from this parak, as we'll see.
So what's the element that holds the Malchus together when it is a Shalom and it's for war?
This higher level of identity, which is a connection to my own emergent identity. The recognition that myself is interrelated and is not itself unless it achieves a connection to other things. The only way to do that is through A, Malchut, B, Malchut Beit David, that becomes now the Malchut Shamayim, and in the end of Beit HaMikdash. That's what it's all about.
Or C, Internet.
Yeah, but that's just an expression of a crushing identity in which it tends towards homogeneity, which is what happened, we pointed out yesterday, you weren't here, which is what happened to Shlomo. Part of the artificial holding together of a Malchut is that it destroys innovation. And Yeravam is therefore introduced with the fact that he was innovative. Simla Chadasha, that they were said Dvarim Chidushim that no Nemru Miolam. So, and that's part of revolutionary problems. You destroy innovation. Destroying innovation, you end up being supplanted.
Tom talks about the permanent revolution.
Right, which was the great leap backwards. Ended up being the great leap backwards. It's amazing. It's an interrelated thing. It's impossible to point one to another. Just like you can't point in your own, the problems in your own life, you can't point to a moment at which something became devastating, you know. Up until then, it was only a problem. So this is the complexity of emerging patterns that you can only recognize them well afterwards. In perspective, that's what went wrong. So the Navi gives us the benefit of that insight here with that perspective, and that's why it's so painful to us, because we recognize, even if we can't explain the psukim, most people read this through them, but they recognize that frustration of not being able to get life in order. Something never works out. And there's something very personal about that. So now we're going to read a mirror image, basically, of the story of Shlomo. And that's why we pointed out yesterday the ironies that abound in the giving over the Malchus, the Yeravam, and the historical currents, and the Beit Yosef, can I get Beit David? And all of this is just hidden beneath the flows that people are sensitive to without even knowing that they're sensitive to it. And so, Vayelech Rechavam Shechem, the most amazing pasuk. Rechavam went to Shechem, of course, Ki Shechem ba kol Yisrael amlichoto. It was to Shechem that everyone had come to be Mamlech Rechavam. This pasuk is totally insane, you understand? This is totally crazy. What? Nothing in the pasuk makes sense. And yet it's given over as this, of course, Rechavam went to Shechem, that's where people went to be Mamlechim. First of all, what do you mean they went to be Mamlechim? There was no need to be Mamlech anybody. There's no din of Meshichav Melech ben Melech. Shlomo died, and the next king becomes king automatically. Yechiyah Melech Rechavam, what, you need to have some kind of ceremony? There is no ceremony. Secondly, what in the world does Shechem have to do with Rechavam? Shechem, obviously, is the antithesis of Malchus Beis David. Shechem, as Chazal point out, why did he go to Shechem? Because Shechem is a makom mezuman l'poranut. Shechem was the place where Dina was raped, and the breakdown occurred between Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim. Shechem was the place where Machru et Yosef. So that's the ultimate breakdown of Yehuda and Yosef. The worst possible place is to go to Shechem. Yesterday we talked about Be'etahu. It was a time that was mezuman l'puranut. Here the Gemara learns out that there's a makom that's mezuman l'puranut. So obviously this is a setup. It's clear it's a setup. They're pretending to Rechavam, there's always problems with the other Shvatim. Maybe instead of Yerushalayim, let's show that everybody's behind you. And who in the world is the one in charge of this? It's going to be Yeravam. What a setup, my God. And he, like an idiot, goes. So it's presented to him as a great opportunity in Shechem, the place where Yosef is buried, the greatest Mokum, which was right on the border between Manasseh and Ephraim, the ones who might be giving you the greatest problems, just to show that we're completely behind you, that's where you should come, and we'll make a whole ceremony to show that all of Yisrael is behind you. Oh boy. This is bad news from the beginning. It doesn't smell right. And so, the Pasuk presents it in this laconic fashion, as if to say he didn't even seem to notice. Yes, he goes to Shechem, because Shechem is where they came. And you're thinking too, what in the world is he thinking? And meanwhile, back at the ranch, Yeravam ben Nevat, he was still hanging out in Mitzrayim, where he had run away, as we learned in the previous parak, Asher Barak Mipnei HaMelech Shlomo. And from that day, he had been Vayeshev Yeravam in Mitzrayim in order to be building up now his groupings. And now, once again, Vayishlachu Vayikrulo to in order to come for this purpose. Vayavo Yeravam the whole Kal Yisrael. So that means that they, of all crazy things, had initially planned out. Not only would this take place in Shechem, but this was going to take place with Yeravam at the head of the supposed re-coronation of Rechavam ben Shlomo. And so he goes out and they greet Rechavam. Vayedavru Rechavam lemor. We wanted to discuss this idea with you because the truth is Avicha hiksha et uleinu. We've really been suffering under your father's massive projects and massive taxes to support these projects. And it's not that we have chas v'shalom anything against Malchut Beit David, but li'ata ata hakel mi'avodat avicha hakasha. What we're asking of you is to, you know, take things a little bit easier. Umeulo hakaved asher natan aleinu, and from the heavy yoke, the burden of his taxes. Vinavdecha, you won't have any problems from us. We just want you to. Now, this was done in a very, very clever way, because clearly Yeravam understood, and that explains the contradiction of the order of Divrei Hayomim to here. He understood that they were not ready to be moreed against Malchut Beit David. So brilliantly, what he does is he creates a setup for both sides. He creates a setup in which all we want is a little bit of hitchashvut. It's not that we're against the Malchut in any way, but as this is a new beginning after all, and you are a neophyte in the Malchut, it's a good time for us to discuss the way things have been going. And you're not really in the same position as your father. I mean, there's no need for us to be so grandiose about the Malchut. Let things go for a while. What do you say? He made the biggest mistake immediately. Give me 3 days to think it over. Once you say that, no matter what you say, you're dead. And they leave. Because what that means is that he's unsure of himself. He's not a leader. He's not ready to respond. The truth is, whatever he would have responded at that point would have been indicative of leadership. Whether he would have accepted what they asked, what he would have said, I don't think that's the right foot to start out on. They were not prepared at that point to be murdered against Malchus Beis David. The moment that he said, give me 3 days, he's already encouraging their thoughts. But what do you mean, give us 3 days? So then what happens if this? And then what happens if that? So now you've built in to Sisa. Okay. Meanwhile, he goes back. Vayivatz ha-melech b'chavam ha-taskinim asher ha-yu omdim et p'nei shelomo aviv ve-heyoto chai le-mor. Now these Chachamim obviously must have been absolutely tops. They're the ones that are being the advisors to the greatest man, the greatest Chacham in history. And they're his advisors. So if he comes and asks them what to do, you would think that this is the people that he should follow. What do you say we say? Note that they too stress. Hayom. Im hayom. Hayom obviously, I mean, it has one simple meaning, but it's also a stress on immediacy. We need to respond to this right away. And what we say to you is this: you need to be an eved to these people. If today you will be an eved la'amaze, va'avatam, and you work for them, va'anitam, and you answer them humbly. V'dibarta lehem dvarim tovim. Tell them something nice. They don't want to hear that you're collapsing totally. They want to hear that you take them seriously. Then, the end result will be, they will be your avadim. This is a fantastic insight into the nature of Malchut. You'll remember that back at the beginning, David HaMelech calls himself an Eved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the Malchut, and he says, who am I to be a Melech? And who is Beit Avi? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps telling him, remember, you were a shepherd boy. I took you out to be the king. Don't start thinking of yourself as a king. So the point of a king is that he is an Eved. He's the ultimate Eved. And this is the story of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua had two Talmidim. And he said to him, you know, I've got two Talmidim that are unbelievably brilliant. They don't have anything to eat. Rabbi Elazar Chasma and Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. They could tell you how many drops there are of water in the sea. And they don't have anything to wear. They don't have anything to eat. Rabbi Leo figured, okay, so give them a job. So he's going to make them now Rosh Yeshiva. Bimoshivam Barosh. He sends a message, they don't show up. So he realizes they don't show up because they don't want it. They don't want to be in a position of power because that's the last thing that you can do and still remain human. So he sends them back a message again and he says, do you think I'm giving you something? I'm giving you avdut. You think I'm giving you sarara? And he brings a raya from here because anybody who's nimna latzibur is an eved. So he brings them this pasuk, Imayontia Eved La'amaza. So what does that mean? It means, and here is the pasuk that shows us the interrelationship of the breakdown, top down to bottom up. The nature of Malchut is by definition avdut. Because you don't have anything that's yours. And that's what they're trying to get him to understand. If you give them the feeling that you think you're a king, then this whole thing falls apart. Nobody's a king. You're a king by virtue of the Am. And if they sense that you know that, and you're an Eved, and you view yourself as an Eved, you think David HaMelech didn't view himself as an Eved? They need to sense that in you. Then they will be your avadim, because they're avadim to the malchut, not to you. But if you start to take yourself seriously, you're finished. Because, I mean, we see this throughout history. The moment a king tries to express himself as an individual over the nation, he ends up hung, or with his head on the guillotine. Because the malchut is only expression of something that is emerging from the whole nation. When that ends and they see he's just a human like we are, it's not the moment you see he's just a human, the whole thing falls apart because there's nothing really there. It's all an artificial construct. And that, so what they were telling him was something so profound, which Lamaisa Chazal say, but on the surface it was totally destructive. As we know, every time in history that you give in to people's demands, you're finished, because then you just increase their demands, right? I mean, this takes place all over the place. You give in, and that's the end. So on the surface, what they were telling him was, steer up. But they were telling him things that were completely destructive. Nonetheless, Chazal, im yomru lecha zekenim sitor, stirat zekenim is binyan. They have a deeper insight, because what they were touching on was the existential roots of Malchut, not the politics that are involved. And this was beyond politics. You needed to restore the nature of the Malchut, which had now been ripped apart. And therefore, you are in an extremely delicate position, because the moment that they sense that you think you are somebody, this whole thing could fall apart. This is tremendously dangerous. And therefore, you have to be careful in what you told them. Now, obviously, he didn't like it, because it meant that he couldn't look at himself as being a hotshot. He really had to look at himself as an avid. And so he turned aside from their etzah. Instead, he goes to the kids that had grown up with him. And he says to them, these people. It's outrageous what they're saying. They say, I mean, this is a great foot to start on, I think, is to accept what they say. His good friends, all the kids. You know what you should tell them? Go to the Baalim. What you should tell them is, look, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. You think he was a problem, boy. You don't know what a real king is. Now, this is the childish thing you could possibly say. He sounds like a little kid trying to fill his father's big shoes. And all he can say is nonsense. I mean, Shlomo recognized the world over as he's not going to be a shachtsan. He's going to express himself and make a laughing stock of himself. Nonetheless, as Chazal point out, this is binyan. So im yomru lecha, that's binyan, because as you know, whenever you give in to people, you just increase their appetite for more. So on the surface, on the political level, this is binyan. Therefore, say Chazal, im yomru lecha zekenim sitor v'yeladim b'nei, even though you're hearing in your ears, these guys are telling me to rip it down. If I listen to them, I'm finished. And the kids are telling me, very intelligent, build it up. Listen to the zekenim. Because sitirat zekenim is binyan. And binyan yeladim is sitira. Beautiful. We learn from here. So again, people misunderstand this. And they think it means that the zekenim were telling them really the right binyan. It's not true. The zekenim were telling him sitar. Absolutely. And he was right in identifying it as that. Nonetheless, that type of stira is binyan, because they were being aimed on the sheresh. And therefore you should tell them, v'ata avi emisa lechem ol kaved. That was nothing. Ani osif aluchem. I'll make it even harder. Avi yisar etchem b'shotim, ani yisar etchem b'akrabim. My father knew how to use sticks on you. I know how to use scorpions on you. So vayavoy ravam v'kol ha'am v'rochavam b'yom ha'shlishi. So now he's ready on the third day to answer them. He was the guy who said, which was the first problem. So he answers them strongly. He forsakes the atzata zekinim. Instead, he answers them like the atzata yeladim. Ani ayaser etchem ba'akrabim. So he's got the whole, you know, they tell him what to say, he's reading it off of his teleprompter. I mean, it's hilarious. This guy looks like, I mean, he looks like a total idiot. Lemaisa, we'll see later, he's not a total idiot, but this was all Me'et Hashem, as the pasuk says. Yeah, it's just kids. V'lo shama ha-melech el ha'am. Ki hayta siba me'im Adonai. The fact is that it's unbelievable that he should have acted this way, because he was not a fool, but it was hayta siba me'im Hashem l'man hakim et devaro. All of this was min ha-shamayim, in order that the Nevi'as, asher diber Adonai b'yad achiyah ha-shiloni el yiravam benevat, should come true. And the kriya of the Malchut should be expressed as a kriya from the bottom up. He didn't respond to them. There was no shmiya. It was like he was deaf and dumb to what they were saying. Whereas a king who can't respond to the Am is not a king. That's what it's bringing out, is that the whole point that it's a king even made to him is that you need to be responsive. Malchus hears. Shmiya is responsiveness. The riot to that is when you take away the shmiya of an eved, you have to pay for the entire eved. That's the point. Why the entire eved? You can write him a message. Because he can't be responsive. He can do it like a machine, but there's no responsiveness. You don't listen, you're no longer a king. And that's exactly what they picked up. Vayar ko Yisrael, ki lo shama melech aleihem. Vayashivo amet ha-melech davar lemor. Their response was, ma lanu chelek b'David. What do you think we bought into this thing? So he was the one who brought something which was a simple negotiation initially. And this was the brilliance of what it was that Yerovam had set up. Because he understood that if he doesn't respond, then he's got the deal sealed. And so what do you think we have in David? We don't have any part of the Shevet Yehuda to be Ben Yishai. It's a little game. Le'alecha Israel, art, everybody, go back home. Atara e'beitcha David. Now go look. This simple way of understanding is, okay, Beit David, go take care of your own homes. You ain't no melech anymore. So e'beitcha, go to your own house. But the deeper pshat is again the medrash that I mentioned to you earlier. Re'e'beitcha David means now look to your precious Beit Hamikdash. That you gave, wasn't it Shlomo's house? No. From here we learn that someone who's Moser Nefesh on a thing, to do whatever he can to make it happen, it's called Al Shmon. So this is the raya that they rejected the Beit HaMikdash. So Malanu Chelik B'David, that's Malchut Shamayim. V'lo Nachalab Ben Yishai, that's Malchut Beit David. See, because the idea of David is that he was the equivalent of Yerushalayim and Malchut Shamayim. It's the Beit Yishai, the Ben Yishai aspect, which is Malchut Beit David. It's surprising. The Chazal identify David himself as being the equivalent of Yerushalayim and Malchut Shamayim, in the same way that the Beit HaMikdash is Beit HaDavid. Ish lo'ohalo is a rejection. Vayelech Yisrael lo'ohalav. Say Chazal is even a girsa. Vayelech Yisrael le'elohav. So what do you mean they each went home? It means they each went to their own way of living. That is the hitporut malchut. Because the nature of malchut is that you identify yourself in a broader ohel. And this is now Yisrael going back each to his own little world. And that's the ultimate destruction of malchut. So what we're reading over here is the three items that Shmuel saw in advance that Klal Yisrael would be moes in, and the only way to reconstruct it would be for them to come to recognize how profoundly they need to be doresh. And therefore, say Chazal, there's no hope for Yisrael, in Yisrael, or Yisrael ro'in simin bracha, or some of the gears say in Yisrael ro'in simon geula. They have to come and beg for all three of these things. And that's what it says in Hosea. That's Malchut Shamayim. Here it's Malchut Beit David. That's the Beit HaMikdash. So they made a new Malchut. Malchut to Beit Yehuda, which is a Shevet issue, no longer the Malchut of Shlomo, and they made Rechavam the Malach. Vayishlach HaMelech Rechavam et Adoram. So Rechavam turned to Adoram, who had been there from the days of David HaMelech, and sent him, he was the guy that was Alamaz, Asher Alamaz. He sent Adoram, Titus the Mitzvah, he's not an idiot, he must have sent Adoram to make a compromise. And what's he sending them? He knows that they've rejected his offer. So he must have sent Adoram, who's on the Mas, to try to fix things up. Okay, so let's create a new tax base. They killed him. They stoned him. Vayamot. It was at that moment that it became an absolute merida. Vayamelech Rechavam, he recognized that he is in danger of his life. He can't hang out over here anymore in Shechem. And they were already coming towards his own limousine. So he needed to be hitametz. Vayamelech Rechavam hitametz la'alot beberkava lanus Yerushalayim. He rushed to get into his own limo in order to return back to Yerushalayim and save his skin. And so, from that day on, to the closing of Nevi'im, Bnei Yisrael turned against Malchut Beit David. So now Yerovam's plan comes together. He was the head of the Mishlachat to Rechavam. So everybody sees him up there. So now they know that the guy that was originally in charge of Beit Yosef from the time of Shlomo had to run away. Because Shlomo wanted to kill him. So now he's obviously the guy that's meant to be leader. They call him into the Beit Din of Beit Yosef. All that was left was a Shevet orientation, not a Malchut orientation. And so he calls out the army. After all, we need to see whether one nation conceived in liberty will survive here on this earth. I mean, this is the first true Malchut, the first Tikkun Olam. Shall we allow the Federation to fall apart? Never! Civil war! So he collects now 180,000 of the Bachur, Osei Milchama, choice soldiers, to start the civil war, what cannot be done by the personality of Rechavam can be done at the point of a sword. Well, it was not to be. There's only 10 people called Isha Elohim. There's Moshe Isha Elohim. Shemaya was a Navi who was zochet to be called Isha Elohim. And it was zochet and revealed to say, Emoral Rechavam ben Shlomo, Melech Yehuda, they'll call Beit Yehuda v'Yamin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls him Melech Yehuda. That means that we have here the first formal recognition that there is no longer a Melech Yisrael from Beit David. It's only a Melech on Yehuda. And speak to Beit Yehuda v'Yamin, and whoever else has come along with this, v'yeter ha'am, let everybody know that this is the situation. No way. You are not to go out, and you are not to create a civil war over this at all. Shuvu ish leveto. Exactly the language. Everybody go home. Because you do not deserve to have a malchut. You are nothing but individuals who are joining together in an ethnic Beit. What? Yehuda? Miti niya hadavar hazeh. This is all from me. Vayishmu'u et dvar Adonai. And they accepted it. Vayashuvu lalechit ki dvar Adonai. They recognized that there could be no way that they could fight a war. And all they saw was that now they have a different darga of malchut. And so vayashuvu was connected al talu. And the Shuvu Ish Leveto, and furthermore, each one literally went back and accepted the fact that there's nothing to do. There's no true Malchutu. Yeravam, meanwhile, by even Yeravam at Shechem Bar Ephraim Vayeshevba, Yeravam went to rebuild Shechem and to make it a capital city in Har Ephraim, settled there. Vayetzei Misham, Vayiven et Penuel, he began now a building project for Bnei Yosef that would strengthen the cities of Yosef. Can I get now Malchut Yehuda?
Is it possible that Penuel
Yes, of course. It's more than possible. It's probable that this was part of his taking over the same vision of Zeshar HaShemayim, of Yaakov Avinu. That this was his own Beit Yosef's achievement of a Beit HaMikdash Shomala, Kivayocho, Keneged Beit HaMikdash Shomata. What Yerovam does at this point is he creates an alternative, a religious alternative, a Malucha alternative, and he even creates an alternative calendar, as we'll see. So the idea over here is to break away as if the real Yisrael is his Yisrael. Vayomer Yeravam Belipo, but the Navi exposes the childishness of the inside his own machshavot. What bothered him? Atat tashuv ha-mamlacha le-beit David. What was his problem? His problem, says the Gemara, was that he said, what are we going to do? I'll come into the Beit HaMikdash. First of all, what do you mean I'll come into the Beit HaMikdash? I mean, he's going to go to Yerushalayim? So in other words, what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Rechavam had been so accepted by Rechavam and Bnei Yehuda, there's no civil war. There are indeed two completely different visions of Yisrael, Yehuda and Yosef, and they need to get along. So if Yerubim wants to come to the Beit HaMikdash, and he'll bring Korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash like everybody else, what's wrong? That's unbelievable. We thought that it was like endless enmity that would have come from you. He didn't have an option. So of course he had an option. His problem was, if I come and all of my people come, so in other words, he himself was going to come, what's going to happen? Says the Gemara, he says to himself like this, if I stand in the Azorah, because only Beit David has rishus to sit in the Azorah, if I stand in the Azorah, everybody's going to recognize, this guy is not really a melech. This is a brief 36 years we saw, Kenega, the 36 years of Shlomo's breakdown. This is a 36-year breakdown bottom-up that is supposed to be a takana of the 36-year breakdown of top-down from Bat Paro. So they'll understand I'm not really a melech. So what's going to happen? It's the whole thing is going to fall apart. If, on the other hand, I do sit down, be'isser, so then that'll be really Merida B'malchus. So then they really will kill me. I mean, that is a civil war. That's Acharosa. Can they get Malchus Beis David? And this whole idea was to accept Malchut Beit David, except to see this as a 36-year tikkun. What I have to do is fight. I can't allow anybody to go to the Beit Mikdash. Why aren't you there? And what would I do if I was there? Whatever I do, I lose. So therefore, this was behind his idea of why he needed to supplant the Beit Mikdash. Obviously, this is not what he's thinking. He's a big tzaddik. So what is he thinking? He is going to fix the religious insanity of Bnei Yisrael. That's what he's going to do. No, he didn't think he's going to start his own religion. He figured he'll antithesize religion. So what does he figure? Look, the whole point of a Beit HaMikdash anyway is to take the place of the Egel HaZahav. So supposedly it's different than the Egel HaZahav. But it isn't really anymore because it's failed. So he tells people what you're going to, you want to go to the Kotel Maravi and then you're going to back up from the Kotel Maravi and crucify yourself and so on. I got a better idea. The original idea was a better idea than that. You can have the Egel. You can have more than one Egel. What, you got to go from place to place? We could put Agalot around. And so the king was mityaetz. What does it mean? How can you be mityaetz to make two eglei zahav? What's the mityaetz? So Sey Chazal, remarkable thing. He created a council, and he calls together all the advisors, and he puts tzaddikim next to Rishaim, and he says to them, look, I would like to turn this into a functioning malchus. I mean, it's like, how's it going to work? As just as a memshala, it needs to have power of malchus. Do you agree? Yes, we agree. Fine. So that means you will back anything that I feel is necessary to do. Of course. You'll back me even if I say, let's be Eved Avodah Zarah. Absolutely. Even Achiyah Shiloni is there, says the Gemara. We're going to have this Gemara. So even the backup of Avodah Zarah is chas v'shalom. Are you crazy? So the Rishayim next to each tzaddik says, oh, come on. A tzaddik like Yerubim is going to worship Avodah Zarah. You got to be nuts. What he's talking about is playing games. So in other words, he's going to tell people what the way you guys relate to the Beis HaMikdash, might as well have an Egel HaZov. You think he's really going to build an Egel HaZov? So they signed. And even Achiyah Shiloni signed. He used that signature to go from place to place. So look, even Achiyah Shiloni is behind, backing me on everything. And so he goes ahead, Vayash Shnei Eglei Zahav, exactly as Yosef was Choshron Lechatchila, and the power of Yosef, which built the original Egel HaZahav, where they threw in the Alei Shor, which was used to be Mala Yosef from the Nilus. They threw it into the gold at the time of Aharon HaKohen. The same Beit Yosef creates Eglei Zahav, Vayomer Aleihem Rav Lachem Me'alot Yerushalayim. You don't need to go to Yerushalayim anymore. Hinei Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Ha'aluchu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Vayasem Ata Echad B'Beit El, Ve'Echad Natan B'Dan, and Lamaisa, he got them to accept it in Dan first, Tzei Chazal. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Dan in the north. First of all, the north is the Tzad on the left, was where the shore was in the Merkava. And that's Mitzafon Tifatach HaRa'ah. But Tzafon means hidden. And the place where Tzfunot are, that became Dan from where the eagle came from. And then, Vayat, Vayazit Beit Bamot, Vayaz Ko'anim Mikzot Ha'am, Shalo Ayu Mibnei Levi. Levim refused to go along with this. And so what did he do? He took the Kotzim Sheba'am, says the Yerushalmi, the Psolet Sheba'am, the useless people, and turned them into the Ko'anim. And then he changed the calendar. Vayaz Yeravam Chag Bakodesh Hashmini. He changed Sukkot to be the eighth month. V'chamishasar yom lachodesh kechag asher b'Yehuda, like the time that was in Yehuda. V'yala l'mizbeach, and he brings now on the mizbeach the korbanos. Kein asa b'beitel, the zabeach l'agalim asher asa. V'emid b'beitel et kohanei abamot asher asa. After having established in Dan, he was able to even move it to Beit El. So now you'll note the Piniel, Beit El connection, is all interrelated with Shechem. So that means he's going back to the earliest hours of Yisrael. The Gemara says that he had these agalot talking. So he put a shame in there, and they would say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. See, it was really a beautiful kind of, the audio-visual thing that would come in there. It was quite a show. And he would actually get these idiots to worship these things. And he changes the calendar. And this is the beautiful story where the Tzeduki comes to Rabbi Akiva. A goy comes to Rabbi Akiva and says, what are you keeping Yom Tov for? It says, Chodshechem u'moadechem sana nafshi. So you should accept the fact that God has rejected you. Oh, you idiot, he says. Chodshechem u'moadechem sana nafshi. We don't keep, that's the Chodesh Hashem Adam Elipo. You think it up for yourself. He changed all of Seder HaShanah, and the Gemara's derish that he even changed the day of Shabbos.
Wow.
And he made Sunday Shabbos. It's mamish a new religion. That's Sanah Nafshi. But we keep Elam Moadei Hashem. That's my Moadei. So my Moadei, it never says HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. Chas v'sholem. That's Elohim Moadei. And this is Moadeichem. So he mamish, that's the Yatzan Mipitka Shel Yerushalayim that we saw yesterday. That deep down in his soul was the desire to break free entirely from the whole history of Klal Yisrael. Vayal al mizbeach asher asah bebeit el bechamisha asar yom bachodesh hashmini bachodesh asher badam elibo. He had also changed the seder of the Shabbat of the chodashim, and you'll note that milibo is written milivod, which is milvad shabtot Hashem. Yerushalmi is derish. That's how we know. Milvat Shabtot Hashem is a remnant to the changing of the day of Shabbat. Vayas Chag Livnei Yisrael, he made a phony Sukkot. Vayal Al HaMizbeach LaHagtir. Can you imagine? So look how quickly it's possible to completely change. You use history. Same thing that Zionism did. Exactly the same thing. You use history. Shavuos becomes now a day to dance around with your new things. And the Chagim become times to, cultural events. And exactly what he did. We'll make a completely new relationship to the history of Yisrael. We'll give excuses for why this is the real Chodesh Hashmini. Mm-hmm. It's much more the time of Sukkot. It should be. This is what should have been the Chodesh Hashmini. And there's always a reason, as long as it breaks you away from the essential pattern of Yisrael.